Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Amen. The Lord is good. I want you to bless God tonight. I can feel the generosity of God already in this atmosphere. Can you just bless me? I want joy to proceed out of me. Just say thank you to me. Let him know how good he's been to me. Thank you, Father. Oh, man, the kibaranda, himako bahigabara. He says, a menoto lo veneti hibakara. Se propone che mate, hide le vosa tata tabeda. Father, we worship you. Father, we bless you. Hikarada barababashi. Father, from day one, to day again, and now. You have done us well and we're so grateful. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Eternal King, the Ancient One. He said, you are the Lord God, you change it not. Thereby we, sons of Jacob, are not consumed. And this one thing again we recall to mind, that is of the Lord's mercy that we have not been consumed. For his compassion they faileth not. They are new every morning. Great, O God, is your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for the mighty and massive outpouring of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, I acknowledge you here because I know you've been here. Thank you, precious one. Again, in this session, that which you want to add to our lives, we open up to receive. In the name of Jesus, with meekness of our heart, we open up to receive the engrafted word of God, bringing transformation and salvation to our lives. In the name of Jesus. Lord, beyond preparation, I lean on you for utterance. Let the prophetic be evident, addressing every situation and every man. In the name of Jesus. This and much more I ask in the precious name of Jesus. And I thank you because he's granted again. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Please let me honor somebody beside you. Make them feel welcome. Hallelujah. Let me honor someone beside you. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Amen. I want to use this first of all to honor and celebrate God's servant for giving me the privilege to be here. Hallelujah. Reverend, I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for trusting me. Every time someone gives you the privilege to speak, it's a trust. They are confined trust in you. And Mama, thank you. It's so good to see you again, Ma. What a wonderful work. And let me say this. I'm not saying it because I'm here. Every time I pass by town or somewhere and I see Reverend's picture, sincere truth is what comes to my mind is what a great work he's doing in this city. And that's the truth. What a great work. What a great work. Sometimes I'm just driving and I see people, I see his face. And even before we started, we had the privilege of knowing one another. You know, I've always had that perception of him. I just said, what a great work this man is doing. And we thank God for your life, sir. It can only be much more. It can only be bigger. And it can only be greater. In Jesus' name. All the workers and workforce of this meeting, we honor you. I celebrate every one of you. God bless you. Amen. Don't worry, I'm not psyching you. I know anytime he's psyching us. No, I'm not psyching you. It's the truth. Thank you for all you do. A man can have a vision without the team. It becomes difficult to execute. So thank you, everyone. Those we can see and those we cannot see in the background. God honor every one of you in Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. I have a word for you. And I know you are ready to receive it. Hallelujah. Let's start from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. I would prefer if I have the NLT version. We'll be reading from verse 1 all the way to verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 to 4, if there is NLT version. And I want us to read, okay, God bless you, media, for that. The Bible says, Timothy, my son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that are confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach this truth to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Verse 3. Endure suffering along with me as a good what? Soldier, okay, of Christ. Soldiers, and notice verse 4 now, soldiers don't get tied up with affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who has enlisted them. This is powerful. I don't know if we have TPT, the Passion Translation, if there is, if you could help me put it. No. Okay, let me read TPT to you, the Passion Translation. I'm going to start from verse 2. It says, and all that you've learned from me. This is one of my favorite translations. That's why. If I read KJV, I will have to read it in TPT again too. He said, and all that you've learned from me, confirmed by the integrity of my life, pass on to faithful leaders who are competent to teach the congregation the same revelations. Overcome every form of evil as a victorious soldier of Jesus, the anointed one. Now verse 4 says, for every soldier called to active duty, I want you to see that, called to active duty, must divorce himself from the distractions of this world so that he may fully satisfy the one who has chosen him. Let me begin by saying this, and this is very important. One of the most important things or necessary things for you to know and for you to appreciate in order for you to function effectively in whatever God has called you to do is identity. Identity is one of the most powerful concepts in the scriptures. When identity is wrong, performance is totally wrong. It takes correct identity for you to step into certain things that God has committed to your hand. Without proper identity. And this is one of the problems we have. From the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis, what Satan had always actually used to attack people had been the question of identity. When he came to meet, Eve, and then he began to speak to them, he said, in the day you shall eat of this fruit, he said, you shall surely be like God. Notice that. Knowing good and evil. But the first thing he said, you shall be like God. But the question is, we should go to the book of Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 28, to see what God said about them. God had said, let us make man, all right, in our own image, after our own likeness. So therefore, in the beginning, God had said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So Satan came and said to them, if you eat of this fruit, you shall be like God. I can't be like God more than I'm already like him. Because already I was created in his image and I was created in his likeness. Now for somebody to tell me that if I eat something, I will be like him. And for me to believe that and step into doing that, it must first mean that I don't understand who I was in the beginning. If somebody comes now to me now and says, Pastor Muiwa, if you eat this popo, you will become a man. And I believe that in eating that popo, I will be a man. It must mean I did not know who I was from the beginning. So what the enemy came was to challenge their identity. If you eat this, you will be like God. I'm not going to be like God because I was already made like him in his likeness and after his image. Satan saw that this thing worked for the first Adam. And so since he worked and Eve and Adam fell, the next time, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Jesus is called the last Adam.
The same name that the first Adam was called, they called Jesus the last Adam. When Jesus came, the last Adam, Satan came with him with the same test. Someone says it's not the same test. No, it's the same test. The test of Adam and the test of Jesus were exactly the same. Exactly. What is the difference? He came to Jesus. Before that time, the God had said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." When the enemy came, he said, "If you are the son of God." Now, he is again questioning his identity. He knew God said, "You are my son." He heard it. I mean, he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." And then he came and then he asked Jesus again. He said, "If you are the son of God, turn this stone to bread." That means do something to prove your identity. Jesus Christ says, "I don't need to do to prove I know who I am." So it is always easier in all the days of your life. What the enemy is going to fight the most is your identity. Everybody say identity. What we have in this world is what is called identity crisis. Many people don't understand who they are. And that is bringing me to something here. When we started reading, the Bible started comparing us. And he started using the word soldier for us. And someone might go like, "Yes, I'm a soldier." But the Bible also says, you know, we are the sheep. Nah. Please pay attention. Every time you study scripture, when it comes to the Lord Jesus, and when it comes to believer, you must have to understand what is called, you know, multiplicity of identity. And I'm coming somewhere. Jesus is called the lion, and Jesus is called the lamb. So, if all Jesus saw himself to be was the lamb, that is how he would behave. If he took his identity from being a lamb alone, that is how he will behave. But he also knew that truly I am the lamb, but I am also the lion of the tribe of Judah. For believers, many times we take our identity primarily and only as sheep. So you see yourself only as, "I'm a sheep of his pasture." True. There ain't nothing wrong with that. It's true. But another identity is conferred on you, and that identity is the identity of a soldier. You are a soldier. Until that sinks into us, there is no emergence. I first need to know I am a mother before I start acting like a mother. Many years ago, I was with one of my friends. We were about 6 boys. But he was the first to marry among us. And after that time, I think, funny enough, it was in Loring. I had not relocated. I was still pastoring in Lagos then. But then, I knew God was going to tell me to move from Lagos to Ilorin. So I come from time to time to just come and check the city. So when I come, there were some folks that I knew. So I on this particular day again, I came. And I called all of them together. Oh, let's see. I know that they were my friends from, you know, and so they were like, "Oh, let's go and hang out and have, you know, drink and suya." So we're in a place, we're just eating, you know, and all of a sudden, I checked the time where we were. 8 o'clock, everybody was relaxed. 9 o'clock, everybody was relaxed. 9:30, everybody was like 10 o'clock. Then I turned to the brother who was married, and I said to him, I said, Oh boy, you know, go home. Madam, when I said madam, he shouted, he said, "Yay, I'm married." I'm telling you, he had forgotten. No, I'm telling you, he had. And I can't blame him. It was just about 2 weeks into his wedding. So the reality of being a husband was still setting in. He said, hey, where's my phone? Where's my, whatever. I know that. Instantly, you could see that he didn't mean to spend that amount of time with us, but he forgot his identity as a husband. When identity is not intact, misbehavior is automatic. Identity. If you don't know that you are a soldier, if you don't understand that this Christian thing is you are an army, there is a way you will behave. If I don't know that I'm a father, there is no way. There are people who are fathers. No. Don't let me say that. There are baby daddies. And there are fathers. Baby daddies are the irresponsible people who just give birth. When somebody comes to a realization of fatherhood, there is how he behaves. Let me tell your neighbor, identity matters. Tell them it affects the way you behave. Now say identity affects your performance. Now let me tell them, how do you see yourself? Now that matters first of all. How do you see yourself? How are you perceiving yourself? Who am I? Who am I? The way some of us behave, evidently we are not carrying the identity of a soldier. You cannot war, you cannot live your life to the fullest with all that is required in the military lifestyle until you know who you are. Until you know who you are. Many years ago, I was with some people, and then they told me, they said, let's go and buy something. And all that. And I said, okay, maybe later on, I will send someone to get it. And all that. They were like, nothing. Let's just go and buy it. So we'll just stroll there and buy it. This is what they said. We'll buy it, and then we'll start eating. It was corn. Let's go and buy corn. Then we'll buy it, and then we'll just be eating and be coming. And I said, you and who? And then, let me explain something. To some of them, they thought I was for me. Yeah, what is the big deal? So, can't somebody eat corn or whatever? You may be able to. I can't. Because we are not placed in the same place. There is the decorum of my office that permits and dictates the way I behave. Because I know who I am. You won't find me on the road. Don't just be parked. Don't be driving. Just park. Just go. Just buy mango. And then the entire mango thing is dripping down my beard. And I say, mango go much. And then you are taking it. And then people are now looking at me and saying, I like him. He's real. I'm not real. I lack identity. Because the moment I begin to know my identity, I understand the boundary of my behaviors. I understand the boundary of my behaviors. You are not going to see some things happen. Why is it? When was the last time you saw the governor of this city? Apart of this city, you just see him, whatever, somewhere, and just say, hello, Rodo. And then he's speaking Rodo to you. I'm just saying. Do you think that he doesn't want to be real? He knows that, see, that is not what I should be doing. Listen, why did I say that? When a man, that's why, hear this. The Bible says, he who is in honor and does not understand that he is in honor is like a beast that perisheth. That means, one physical or lack, but come on. He starts behaving like a beast because he does not understand identity. Who am I? Let me tell somebody, you're a soldier. Oh, tell them you're a soldier. In case they don't know, please let me give them something like this so they can get it. Tell them the problems that you're hugging me too much. That's why you think you're a civilian. From now, we'll begin to greet you properly so you understand. Tell somebody, identity matters. You know why? Until I come to realization I'm a soldier, I will never act like one. Until I come to the realization and I'm in an army, I will never behave as such. Too many casual soldiers everywhere because they don't understand who they are. Too many casual soldiers. And let me tell you something, in the army, casualness as a soldier is the express way to death. And I'm telling you, I saw. I was watching, some of you will have seen that video before, of these American soldiers that went to fight war in Iraq. And then they were taking whatever, and then they called one guy to come and take picture. And the guy, and then the lady brought out a knife and cut his throat. And the guy died. The question is that what they sent you to do? To go and be taking pictures? That casualness led to his death. Because he didn't know who he was. There are things people call me for that don't show up. I understand my identity clearly. If they don't understand and they feel
like for some reason, oh, that person is a bit whatever, it is their business. I know who I am. You need to know who you are. When they call you for some things, come, let's go and party. You say, I can't go. I know who I am. When you are a soldier, you now get there and then they say, let's dance. And then you are whatever, and you leave that place. And then people go like, see, I like him. Even though he's a Christian, he's down to earth. He's very real. It's nonsense reality. And not us. That's all. Yeah. Say out loud. Say, I know who I am. Everybody say identity. Let's go back to that scripture. It says, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ. Notice, as a good soldier. That is the first thing. As a soldier, not just as a believer. As a soldier. Until this identity sink into us. Let me say this to you. Every other training, every other thing you give to somebody who does not know who they are, they will waste it. They will waste it. Because first of all, I first need to know who I am. I'm a soldier. Every now and then, Satan does not care the kind of gun they give you. Satan does not care the kind of uniform they give you. Satan does not care your ranking for as long as he can pollute your mind with casualness. He knows your gun will be useless. Your uniform will be useless for as long as your identity has been taken from you. It does not matter how rich the father of a madman is. Because he's out of his senses, he cannot utilize the wealth. It does not matter how influential the father of a madman is. Because he's out of his senses, he cannot utilize the influence of his father. Why? He has lost. That is why when someone was there, they will say he's beside himself. Why? He has lost identity. So even though things are available, it is useless. He does not know. As a true soldier of Christ, the beginning of your emergence starts with your understanding identity. Who am I? Who am I? Every day you wake up, who am I? Who am I? To realize and come to the place where you tell yourself, I am a soldier. Let me tell somebody, I'm a soldier. Let's clearly see some scriptures. And right now, let's go to the book of Philemon 1:2. Philemon 1:2. Let's see it in TPT. Amplified. Let me see Amplified. Okay. NLT. NLT is okay. Sleep NLT then. Maybe because of. Now, everybody, let us see. No. Philemon 1:2. The book of Philemon. Chapter. Okay. Everybody, let's read together. What does it say, please? Archippus, Please, what does he call Archippus, everybody? What does he call Archippus? Notice it didn't say soldier. It said fellow. That means we are all in one army. Archippus had better carry himself with this consciousness that one be any ordinary person. They call you soldier. And if they call you a soldier, you have to man up and be what they are calling you. Later on, I began to see that Archippus, unfortunately, just like many of us are, started forgetting who he was. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17, first go back. Let's first stay. Please, go stay in Philemon 1:2. Let's see Philemon 1:2. Let's see Philemon 1:2 again, everybody. What does he say again? Let's see. What does he say? And to our what? Fellow soldier, Archippus, and to the church that meets what? In their house. Now, let's see Colossians 4:17. Colossians 4:17. Everybody want to go? Say to Archippus, okay? Let me say this to you. At one moment, they said he's our fellow soldier. At another time, they are reminding him of ministry. He said, don't forget. Don't forget, something must have been wrong with his identity at some point. A soldier.
Now they are writing a letter. He says, say to the same Archippus, a man that was called a soldier, say to the same, when you lose sense of consciousness of who you are, many times, and do you know what? Thank God for Apostle Paul who was reminding him. Archippus could have lived, grown up, and died carrying the title of a fellow soldier but not fulfilling ministry. When you forget who you are, you will need a lot of reminder. Plenty reminder. That pastor always has to sit you down and say, "See, look at who you are." You know, some of us, when we're growing up in those days, they used to say to us, "Runti, Oma, Eniti was shame." Runti, you know what? There are some children they say it to more often than some children. You know what I'm saying? I'm one of those kids. Every time I was going to school, my parents would say, "Runti, Oma, Eniti was shame." Runti, and there is a reason. In those days, they would say, don't walk with bad children. Don't walk with bad children. I used to laugh because there's no bad children. I'm the only bad child in that school. So what my parents would start saying to me, they would say, not ma. It should be ma ba wo mo lo mo rin. Not that, see, imagine, ma ba wo mo ti o dani. I was the trouble in the entire school. But you know what my parents were always doing? They were trying to reach inside me. To remind me of an identity of who they are. That they are good. Look, we are good people. Don't go. Every time pastors sit down to say that, see, you're a child of God. You ought not to be fornicating. You ought not to be living with a boy. You ought not to stay with this one. It's the fact that, see, you are forgetting. It's like when they are reminding Archippus. Won't pay any soldier in back country. Now they are saying that, see, now, Obeni, remember your ministry. May you not forget your identity. Everybody tell your neighbor, say, identity is classic. Yeah, it's classic and it's crucial. But yeah. I've told you, there are things I don't do. As a pastor, there are things I will never do. As the head of a ministry, there are things I will never do. As a soldier, as a father, there are things I will never do. Not because of anything, because I know who I am. The day you know who you are is the beginning of the fulfillment of your assignment. Whatever I say to you today and whatever you've learned so far, if it is not resting on the foundation of knowing who you are, you won't be able to utilize it as much. The first thing is to know, party enemy. Who am I? Who am I? There's a lady many years ago. She was there when I was in university. She was the vice president of the student union government of Obafemi Awolowo University. Now, I will say this because some of you might not know it. If you didn't go to that kind of environment, what student union means. Student union in Ife is not like Unilorin. I've been in Unilorin and I've seen what student union is. Yeah, I think it's more of primary school union. I don't know what. Okay, sorry, I didn't mean it that way. It's union. No, the union in Ife, I'm coming somewhere. Is the fact that they dictated the pace for the school. If the exam is coming up, they will come and ask the students, are you guys ready to write the exam? If we say no, they will go and tell the school, we're not ready. So push exam by 2 weeks. If you beat a student anyhow, or you do something, they couldn't cheat you anyhow because the student union was very strong. It was almost like a parallel authority. This is where I'm going. So if you are the vice president of student union, then you were almost like the DVC, deputy vice chancellor of some sort. So this lady, she's a believer, a Christian. But one day, there was a demonic attack on her mind. Her younger sister is my friend. She just started acting anyhow, almost removing her clothes and walking out of hostel. They had to hold her back another. Cut long story short, another. She couldn't do anything. They took her away. And then the sister came to meet me crying. And I heard of the report and I said, let's go and pray. And as we step into Sports Center, the first scripture that came to my mind is that all the scripture, because her dad is a pastor, and I know that at some point they must have fed that with God's word. Every scripture that is on the inside, that is latent, I command the stirring up to come up, to come to the full understanding of who she was. I didn't have to spend too much time praying because I knew that at some point she knew who she was. The enemy, through insanity, was trying to make her forget. As I began to pray later on, when she got well, I got to speak with her. She respected me quite
And I was there speaking with her, and she said, exactly, she said, he said, I sat down. He said, and scripture started coming. I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power. You know what was happening now? Who she was, her identity started coming. All of a sudden, she just woke up and said, King Bubele, Kibunimowa. What's happening? Why? When you come to your real identity, there are things you won't take. I can't stress this enough. Anything you've learned, if it's not founded on who you are, number one, it's going to be very difficult to continue. I can start some. Okay. Let me say this. I'm sure I wonder what. Already, I think, what's he doing? But let's hold on. Do you know if I do this, I might be able to do this for 2 hours? After I went over my room, I said, let me walk normally. Because it's not my identity. I'm faking it. Women don't stress. For 2 weeks, they are still working like this. 2 months. 1 year. 15 years. And I can't even sustain it for 2 hours. When the identity is intact, you exhibit power and authority easily. Praise God. Amen. Have you seen that? Say with me, they will not remind me like they reminded Archibos. Let's see Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. I always like to be simple when I'm teaching. Are you getting it? Let's see Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Now let's read together. What does it say? It says what? Aha. Aha. Now, can you give it to me in Amplify? If there is, Amplify. If we have. Aha. Let's read together, everybody. What does it say? It says what? Aha. Aha. Look at that. Put on the whole armor. What? The armor of what? What does it call you? Every arm sold. Aha. Continue. Aha. Why, Pastor Mura, why are you going this way? I'm saying the same thing. I have learned in years of ministry that repetition is what's strengthening consciousness. I'm trying to strengthen your consciousness by repeating the same thing. To wake up and then have no other identity but one. I'm a soldier. I want to ask you a simple question. This is how you know what I'm saying works. Hello, sir. Please, what's your name, sir? Yes. Matthew, right? Is there somewhere in your body, Mr. Matthew, please don't lie to us, where they wrote your name? They wrote Matthew on your body. It's not on your back. It's not on your shoe. But when they call Matthew, you respond. Why? Because that's your name. All right. How do you know that's your name? Hold on. How do you know that's your name? Because you were told, and they called you that over and over. When you are in the market with hundreds of people, somebody shout Matthew, you will look back. The repetition awakened you to that name. If something is repeated long enough, you will know who you are. I'm a soldier. Now I want you to say to yourself, I'm a soldier. I carry myself as one. I talk as one. Is that foundation laid? Is the foundation laid? Let's build an example. Hallelujah. Praise God. Having known who you are and what God has called you to do, the next thing that is very important is that there are vital understandings that will enable your emergence as a soldier of Christ. Vital understanding. And because of time, let me quickly enter into it now. Having set that foundation, number one is an understanding of the mission. An understanding of the mission. I can't imagine as a soldier to be deployed by God if there is no understanding of the mission.
The first law is the law of mission. When it comes to imagine, what is the mission of a soldier? What have I been called to do? What is my assignment? Until you know what your assignment is, deployment is unnecessary. The first law, the first thing, and somebody is probably here, and let me just say this, where there's been a cry and a yearning in your heart for God to use you. Lord, I'm a soldier, use me. I'm a soldier, use me, another. But the first thing is not to jump and go and print flyers. The first thing is that, what is the mission? Because you have what is called Air Force. You have what is called the infantry soldiers. You have the Navy. And all of them, as it were, in the army, they are deployed for certain missions. What is the mission? This is the first thing. There is no deployment and emergence until you know what the mission is. What the mission is. I knew in 2001, I was at a meeting in Songota. And Dr. Miles Monroe was preaching. That day I knew God called me into ministry. It was clear. It was a supernatural visitation around 1 a.m. And when I finished, Dr. Miles Monroe had preached. And then he had gone. But there was cry in my heart. Oh Lord, use me. And then the Lord visited me. I knew that I was called. But he did not give me clarity of my calling. The problem many times is that you know you are called a soldier, but what is the mission? This is the reason why people start a work, after a while they close it down. They start a work, they close it down. Not just ministry. You start to do something because there is no conviction. You are called, but number one, what is the mission? You can't be deployed effectively, emerge as you ought to, until you understand, number one, I know by sense of identity, I'm a soldier. But number two, by sense of mission, what is the assignment? What is your assignment? Write this down. There are two assignments. There is the generic assignment of every soldier. Everyone born in Christ, there is our generic assignment. And the generic assignment is that we go and fight for the souls of men. The Bible says in Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that he has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. So every believer has, number one, a generic mission to save souls. That is our generic vision. But a generic vision is not the only vision that is important. In the generic vision, for every believer, there are specific visions. There is what a reverend is doing. There is what I am doing. Every one of us manning the territory God has given to us, even though we are all Christians and we are still saving souls, but we understand the mission and the assignment. So number one, as a believer, as a soldier, now first of all, know the general missions of all soldiers in Christ. Number two, understand the specific mission of you as a particular soldier. What is your specific mission? What is my specific mission? You are not called to do what everybody is doing. You are not called to stay where everybody is staying. When I was leaving Lagos to come to Ilorin, I'm telling you, I grew up in Lagos. All my life has been there. That's where all my family folks are. So when I was coming, people felt something was wrong with me. My pastor that I was with as at the time, he said, "Where are you going?" He said, "Why are you going to Lorin?" I said, "Sir, I don't know. But I sense that's where the Lord will have me go." And I remember at some point, we were at the airport, Muritala Muhammad, MM2. When I was talking to him, he said, "Muiwa, I sense it must be the Lord." He said, "Because naturally, people don't leave this place for that kind of place. Naturally." He said, "Who do you know there?" I said, "I don't know anybody there." He said, "Where will you stay?" I said, "I will find out where I can stay to manage." But do you know there are pastors God told to stay in Lagos? I've been now, and it's not the devil. God told them, I should not say that, if Pastor A and B can stay in Lagos, are we not age mates? Let me now tell you a second. I cannot say, Shebi, our mission is to save souls. Eh? If our mission is to save souls, are there souls in Lagos? Then I can stay in Lagos and save souls. I have actually obeyed the generic, but there is the specific. You are to save souls, but your own souls is in learning.
the specific.
Because if it's just generic, oh, everybody's win souls, everybody wins souls. I mean, there are more souls. If there is a place you need to win souls, it's in Lagos. I'm just kidding. Like one of my friends said, he said, Oniro lokpo juleko, Oniro lokpo juleko. I mean, if you whatever, so look at that. But yet, God says, the souls here is not for you for now. I have ordained some other people to do this. That the generic is we are all to win souls, but specific for you. Carry your bag and face the city of Ilorin. And then I carried my bag and I started coming. Shall I say this to you? There hasn't been one day I regretted showing up in the city. I'm happy I'm in my place of specific, not just generic. Let me tell your neighbor, please understand the mission. Tell them specific missions and generic missions. I'm a teacher. What have you been called to teach? How do you want to do that? Mo quote Genesis all the way to Revelation. And then the Spirit of the Lord shed. I have called to teach the entire Bible. Wonderful. You will soon understand how difficult that task is. Why God calls several of us to give us specific, because it is a lot of work. You will never be able to establish. That is why it's difficult for me to attack any pastor. Because the details, you know what is called scriptures, is from the word script. When you want to do a drama, they give each actor a script. When they all act out their script, the drama is complete. When we all stay with our script from the scriptures, the drama of redemption is finally complete. When every pastor holds his script and does his script. Specific and the generic. You cannot emerge fully if you don't understand what the mission is. Every soldier is king, number one, on missions. Could you please let me ask your neighbor again? Excuse me, sir. Please ask them. Please, what's the mission? Now, first ask them, please, sir, please, sir, please, sir. What is the missions? Number two, please ask them, what is the specific in the generic? Please tell them, don't be carried away by someone else's specific. Yours is enough. Oh, yeah. It's enough. I don't envy people. Mine, if one scripture is what God gave me, God gave Papa Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, one scripture. Mark 11:23-24. Do you know he wrote over 60 books? Had several camp meetings. He preached that message for over 50 years. Mark 11:23-24. He worked the Bible. God, I'm ready. Send me forth. Send me forth. God says, daughter, son, I know your identity is intact. You know you're a soldier. But every soldier must understand mission. You don't know mission yet. Come deeper into the secret of, into the secret place, into the holiest of all, and dwell with me, that I begin to show you the script for your life. Not all messages are for you. And refuse to be intimidated by anybody. Oh, I'm telling you. I will go for some meetings, and somebody, I went for a meeting one time, and I will never forget that meeting. The minister before me was preaching. After a while, he just stopped. And he says, give me water. So they gave him water. He took water like this, did like this, brah. If you see the way people were falling. I mean, people were doing backflip like this, brah, brah. After a while, he removed his jacket, started flogging people. And listen, before you criticize it. That's what I've learned not to. If you know how many people Jesus healed in that place, terrible cases, hopeless. I didn't understand the method, but I maintained. But you know what Satan started saying to me? But don't it down me sile by? Don't it fashion no and when you know what you have. So Satan started bringing suggestions. That's why they were waffle. I told myself, no. I'm a simple teacher of God's word. I like to be simple. And then I minister. I got there. After everything I'd done, I said, let's take a worship song. We worship the song. I said, everybody open your Bible as we teach God's word now. After I finished, I was ministering. Word of knowledge came. There was no paparazzi. I said, there's somebody here. You come forward. Are you the one? Yes. Whatever. I was done. I left the place. I can't tell you how many people, even the convener spoke to me after another. And later on, the other person too, they spoke to him too. None of us, every one of us abided in our office. Later on, I found out that he was an evangelist, was a healing evangelist. You know, evangelist, somebody call what they become, I call the roof when you. Hey, that would be a roof. And they can win souls. Because Agbarani, that's how they operate. It's more power. They don't have too many patience for Greek Hebrew explanation. Beat everybody with clothes. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But you know what? My understanding of my specific, it keeps me safe. You will never find somebody who is a naval officer trying to change uniform with a soldier. He knows his, we are both in the Nigerian military, generic, specific, Navy, Air Force, specific. Say with me, generic and specific. Tell somebody, know the missions of your life. Know it generically, know it specifically. Until that is in place, God will not redeploy you. Else, you are a danger waiting to happen. You will be doing everything. And use your life fighting everywhere because you don't know what your real assignment in life is. Is it simple? See, I'm imagining. Everybody, what's our foundation? Foundation, let's go for foundation. What's the foundation? Identity. See what I mean? Foundation is identity. Knowing you're a soldier, number one. And then number two, moving to knowing that, see, what is my mission? Generically, and what is my mission specifically? I don't have time. I will have shown you something very powerful in the book of Revelation. In Revelation, he showed us seven churches. In the seven churches, don't open there. I just want to make you to see something. In the seven churches, do you know what is funny to me? Is that first of all, in the seven churches, what God said to the seven churches were totally different things. Were not the same. But as powerful as that is, that's not what's even more powerful for me. It was how God introduced himself to the seven pastors. That's where the power is for me. There was what God said to the entire church. There was how he introduced himself. Do you know what was funny? Seven pastors. God's introduction was different to all of them. At one, he came to meet one. He said the one with the flaming sword out of his mouth. That's what. Another one, he said, you know, the beginning and the end. In another one, he said there is flame of fire coming from his eyes. All of them different. This is where I'm going. The pastor who comes that says the sword is coming out of his mouth and he's preaching. He said, I can describe God for you. He's the one with the sword out of his mouth. Another one comes, he said, he's the one with the eyes of flaming fire. He says, Ema dalon ko moloni. Look, it's a sword. God, if I describe him for you, is flame fire. Another one, he says, is the beginning and the end. He says, let me tell you, God is just the beginning and the end. The revelations were different. That is why to attack one church sometimes. Now, there are crazy churches that shouldn't be churches. I need to say that. But sometimes there are people who, what the man is teaching, okay, is actually as revealed to him. Specific. I believe this will set you free. And you will not be wearing green uniform and be admiring somebody's blue and white. Who are those who wear blue and white again? Is it Air Force? Oh no, Navy. White top. Uh-huh. Then the what they call them now? The land. What this one they wear? See, huh? Army, thank you, army. So you will not be wearing army uniform.
Now somebody wearing whatever with blue car. Should be uniform, Lele. Let me go see. Or the one wearing blue and white is saying, and it took your soldier, you see your camo. On fire and camo.
Is this thing strong enough? If you know it's intentional, I'm going over it because I need it to stick in your spirit. Number two, training. 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 Can I say this to you? Everybody hear me? This will help you. The version of you God called is not the version of you God sent. It's not the same. The version of you God called is not the version of you God sent. There is the version that God speaks to. There is the version God sent. The version of you that encountered the mission is not the version of you that fulfills the mission. I have boys in church who have gone to Nigerian military school. They entered there being ordinary men. From the moment they joined, they called them, you are in the Nigerian Army Armed Force Training School, but you are not yet fit for some things. Training. You don't emerge because God is not a waster of destiny. If you emerge before time, you will disappear before time. It takes training. Every now and then in ministry, I meet young ministers. Young people come and say, Pastor, I can feel an urgency. God, God says, go. Sir. In fact, try yesterday, I couldn't sleep. My bed was hot. This is somebody that is not ready for the work. I can sense I should go. Hear me very clearly, sir and ma. From the urgency you feel after the call is an urgency of preparation, not an urgency of sending. There is God, the call of God will come with an urgency. But don't mistake the urgency as something to go. Casualties in ministry are plenty. It is plenty because men are not trained. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Every now and then, you must know this. I see people start ministry, and when I hear what somebody was talking to me about this particular guy, and then they say, how many people has he slept with in the church? When I had to call him one, I said, who trained you? Who trained you? When he started the story, I was in Kenya, the spirit came. Every now and then, I couldn't sleep. I could hear people crying. That cry, they are crying. Let them cry. This is what I'm saying. That cry, let the cry of the people lead you to a place of submission. Pastor, sir. What can I do? No matter your calling as a soldier, an untrained soldier is a dangerous man with a weapon. God will train you first. This passion that is unguarded with knowledge, this passion that is unguarded with understanding, this passion that is unguarded. You know, I was talking to someone and I said, as a citizens of Light Church, is going to be 12 years old. I said, but it's been over 21 years in ministry. It is CLC that is that old. I'm not that age in ministry. The time the church started, my first pastoral assignment was December 2001. From that time, I have not stopped pastoring. From 5 people to, I think, 300. To almost 3,000, then to Lagos. And then after all these years, God says, go and start CLC. So when the ministry started, sincere truth is that I wasn't doing guesswork because I did those guesswork early when I was learning.
Some of you, you run into a field, you first use 5-10 years of your life trying to understand. You should have learned that under a man.
It's not in the war front that you are asking, Kule, Kule, wa, Ibonichika, wa. Just said it. Hey! Tell Iboni, Ibi, Kifa. But we're not saying, Kodwe, na.
You are dead. Not us.
All the bullet finishes. They already told you, finish. But you don't know how to uncast, remove. Say, hey! Kule, what happened? It's not the same.
They say, ah, Oshipo, Ibi, Mary, no, for me. But we're not saying, yo. And the enemy is approaching. But we're not saying, yo. Kule, Joe, Bami, yo.
So Kunle leaves his gun.
He's attending to you, two useless soldiers, because of one useless soldier. I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
Because of your own uselessness, you've rendered the second soldier also useless. Because he's trying to attend to your own lack of preparation. The enemy comes, wipe out everybody.
Because whatever, you don't learn to shoot in the battleground. You learn it under someone. A soldier is not deployed and does not emerge until there is training. I have so many things to cover, but I'm just trying to, whatever. Let's quickly see Genesis 14, 14. Genesis 14, 14. Some of you have a call of God on your life. Instantly, by passion, you want to start printing things. Printing is not what you need. Seeing pastor is what you need. Pastor, sir. Pastor, ma. How can I serve you? Please, how can I serve you? Let's quickly read, please. Let's quickly read because of that. Genesis 14, 14. Let's quickly read. What does it say? When Abraham heard that what? His brother was what? Taken captive. He harmed. Let's read KJV. He harmed what? He mobilized 318 what? Let me say this to you. 318 trained men, but hold on. Those were not the only people in his household. There were more people, but he didn't consider them ready for war. Only those who were trained. If ordinary Abraham didn't consider those who were not trained, how much more the only wise God? God won't deploy a soldier to emerge until he's been trained.
Abraham didn't carry men to war who did not know how to fight war. The Bible said they were trained men. How can 318 people fight 5 kings? Maybe you don't know what that means. It's like us getting 318 people, and then we face Ghana, we face Togo, we face Cameroon, all their military with 318 men who were raised in a man's house. They must have been well and seasoned soldiers, well trained men, and they won the war. God will not send you forth. That is why, please listen to me. At every point in your life, there is a man you must be to move to the next phase. And this is for somebody here. Somebody here has already emerged to some level. You're already doing well at a certain level in what you are doing. But hear me. This is what I sense the Lord is saying to you. There is a version of you that did well at this level. Where I am taking you to, you have to be another person. And what I mean by another person is that it's in you. There was a time church started, we got to a place where just about 400 or 500. And I didn't like what was happening because of the vision God has showed me. So I went to prayer, Lord, what is happening? This thing is like we were stuck at that number. What is happening? And the Lord said to me, he said, the pastoral style you have engaged cannot pastor beyond this level. I'm telling you. He told me, you have run church, and he gave me specific. He said, for the next phase, you have to change your pastoral style. And he spoke to me what I was to change. I changed some of those things. Pow! And yet, for almost 3-4 years, we were in that same. Maybe 3 years. So let me say, whatever, 3 years. But that, God says, make this adjustment. Your pastoral style, this style, can't pastor beyond this capacity. The version of you that gets result at a level, for another step, has to be a different person. The same thing in your business. The version of you that conquered 10 million is not the version of you that will conquer 300 million. There is going to be, God will tweak some things in your finances. He will tweak it. When he tweaks it, you do it. You see, that's another version. The problem is, we get comfortable in the former style. And that is why training and retraining in what we do is a necessity. Because training is important, retraining is necessary. Do you know military men must go for new courses, fresh courses every now and then? Fresh courses, new courses. Why? They've been trained to be soldiers. They have to be retrained for new levels. I pray for you. What you need to learn as a soldier of Christ that will do mighty work will be made known to you in the name of Jesus. Will be made known to you in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. The last one, I will just touch it briefly, my time is up, is actually understanding your weapons. Let me tell your neighbor, understanding your weapons. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. I want you to read with me. Everybody, what does it say? Please, it say what? Put on. So you'll be able to stand. So I want you to first. So you know we're fighting. It's an automatic fight. It tells us what we're fighting. Because of time, he was talking to us that the things we're fighting are spiritual. So if the things we are fighting are spiritual, then physical weapons are useless. For me to tell all of you now to bring cutlass to church to fight your enemy is the most ludicrous things that can happen in the spirit. You know, and then you bring it, and then I will say, take it, hit the floor, say, oh yeah, now do like this, one leg forward, whatever, and then whatever, you begin to do like this. And then you do that for 30 minutes. Now, let me quickly say this to you. I always say to them in church, you see, the blood of Jesus washed away our sin. It didn't wash away our brain. There are things we should never do. It didn't wash our brain. If we have read scriptures, we will understand that, see, this cutlass is useless against what I'm fighting. If they are spiritual demons or spiritual forces, then our weapons are also according to scriptures. I didn't say it. He tells you what to put on, what helmet to put on, what sword to hold, what belt to wear. Where did you find deer or jaguar? Or God, where? Nowhere. There is something there, because if you don't understand what your weapons are, is the reason why something is happening and then you are giving physical attack. Wake up midnight and let something arise in you. We were to get a property once. They told me that we shouldn't get the property and that they were going to whatever. The amount of trouble they gave me about that property, they called me in Emir's palace, they harassed us and all that. Some imam somewhere called me. I know that one person said to us, they went to bury something on the land. And all that. Imagine, I should not go there with the land and now hold sword. And said, I got up midnight and I addressed the spirit behind those things. Knowing who I am, conscious I'm a soldier and I'm a fighter. So I started addressing the spirit in those whatever. After a while, I called a general. You know what that means? Because there are some times that you need the backing of someone senior. I called my spiritual father. I said, Dad, this is what is happening and everything like that. He said, I will be in London tomorrow. We got there, he got to the land. He lifted up his hand and he said, I command now every order of hell to back down. Spoke in the name of Jesus. He said, keep quiet, every one of you. He said, go, start building. We started, everybody kept quiet. Not the fact that Emma Baloni pay emigo mole. Then you tie or whatever you want to fight. We are not using fighting physical things.
Our weapons are not physical. I can't take one of these. Rise your feet. Rise your feet. Rise your feet. Rise your feet. The first thing I want us to pray about is our identity. Not what you know in your brain, but what you know in your heart. I want you to pray. Father, thank you because there is a rising. There is a rising. There is a mighty rising of who I am. In the name of Jesus, begin to pray right now. 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 I know who I am. If you can pray in tongues, let's pray in the Spirit. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost, let's pray in the Spirit. If you can pray in the Spirit, let's pray in tongues. Something is waking up on your inside. And if you are here, you know the generic, but you are crying for the specific, pray. Father, I ask today for the specific, oh Lord. For the specific, oh Lord. For the specific, oh Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let's pray. Open your mouth. Open your mouth and pray, sir. Open your mouth and pray, ma. Somebody here is ripe for a specific instruction. There is somebody here who is ripe for a specific instruction. You have been operating at the fringe of destiny. You have been operating at the border of God's calling on your life. You have been operating at the edge of God's calling upon your destiny. I want you to begin to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, open my eyes that I may see. Open my eyes that I may see. In the name of Jesus, you have called me. Some of you, what you need is training. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, as I go to meet Pastor Reverend and I submit, put my love in the heart of Reverend to mentor me, to train me. And Mama, pray. Father, let them have my time. Let them have my time. I want you to pray because they are busy people. God will put you in their heart. Some of you need retraining. What you need is retraining. You have utilized and you have finished the anointing at a certain level. And God is saying there's a new training. There are new things to know to come up to a higher level of your calling. Open your mouth and pray. Show me, O Lord. Show me, O Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Let's begin to pray. Ask the Lord. In the name of Father, what is it that I need to know? What is that new version of me that needs to come out to take this new mountain? To take this new mountain. In the name of Jesus. When David was to go and fight Goliath, it was the sling and stone he used. But later on, when he became a king, the Bible said he began to use the sword. He began to use the sword. Some of you are still fighting with sling and stone, but the requirement of your destiny has changed. The requirement of your destiny has changed. You started your life with stone and with sling. God is saying it's time to fight with sword. It's time to retrain yourself. To learn to use the sword. To learn to use the sword. There is a higher training in the kingdom. There is a higher training. Open your mouth and ask. Father, in the name of Jesus. I retrain. Father, I have maximized this level. I pray for fresh anointing. I pray for new grace. Above all, new training, oh God. Bloody new training. Oh, fresh training. Open your mouth, please, and pray. Open your mouth. Some of you feel stuck. You feel stuck. You are like, oh, you're kidding, Kojabi. It's a feeling of getting stuck. Open your mouth. What is the new training, oh Lord? Open my eyes to see. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. I sense there is somebody here. God is about to give you clear instructions. God is about to give you clear instructions. Through the vision of the night. Through His word.
to bring clarity to you. You have been running with general instructions, and you have been faithful. You have been faithful in that which is general. God says you are ripe now for that which is specific. He says you are ripe, but you will need a retreat. I don't know who that person is. You will need a retreat. God is calling you. Come into the holiest of all. 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 In the name of Jesus. Come into the holiest of all. Father, I become skilled at the use of my weapons. Lastly, pray. Father, help me to be skilled in the use of my weapons. Help me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord, to know how to wear my armor correctly. That which will be my helmet will not become my sandal. That which will be the belt of truth will not become the sword in my hand. That my armor is worn correctly and used accurately. That my armor, my weapon is used effectively. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Please pray. Please pray. I am done with my message. I just want you to pray. I sense you are closer than how you imagine. I can sense some of you are closer. Don't rush home, but pray. Please pray. Please pray. I beg you, please pray. Please pray. I beg you, please pray. Please pray. Father, help me. What is meant to be helmet will be helmet. I will not use helmet for breastplate. I will not use breastplate for sword. I will not use sword for sandals. I will know the effectual use of every weapon as a soldier of Christ. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and begin to bless Him right now. Begin to bless Him right now. Begin to bless Him right now.
We are confident that you have been blessed. Do well to share with your friends and families. To listen and access more life-transforming messages and resources, download the TFPAW mobile app from any of the Play Stores or visit our website www.tfpaw.org. Do well to subscribe to our YouTube channel at official_TFPAW. Facebook and Twitter at official_TFPAW. For further inquiries and counseling, you can reach us on the following phone numbers: 0803-9413-665 and 0816-7829-390. God bless you.